Hi, welcome back. It's Gwen and Chris on a Tuesday. 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock in Peoria, Arizona. That's where Tony is. Padres. Split squad action today. Did not go well. The one game was all right. They and the Giants played to a 1-1 draw. Any talk of going to a 10th inning, Tony? Were you and Jesse
we got a little spooked. There was some guys warming up in the bullpen.
You thought they might go 10, no. Huh?
then when the guy stopped and another guy got up, I was like, okay, they're finishing their bullpen.
Yeah. Cooler heads prevailed. They're like, no, we're not going 10 innings.
It's funny when it's tied and the bottom of the ninth ends, there's always like this kind of everybody like looking at each other like they're both sides. Because I don't know that they ever like actually talk about it, right? Usually if they're going to go 10 before the game goes on, somebody say, hey, man, if we get to a tie, we want to go that extra inning. They usually have that discussion. But sometimes it's not had, and so you're not sure. You're looking at their bullpen. They're looking at your bullpen. They're like, that guy's warming up. Are we going to 10th?
It's like no one wants to do anything, so they're just sitting there.
I think it was Bo Mel who came out and like kind of high-fived this guy and then turned his back, and that was like everybody's cue. Oh, we're done.
Let's go. People couldn't wait to get their cleats off. Padres' second squad today did not do so well, losing to the Cubs 16-1. Yeah, that's what happened there. Not a great day for Matt Waldron nor Brito in that game. Both of them gave up a few runs. Yeah, they both struggled a little bit. Nick Pivetta pitched great in the one that Tony saw, 1-1 game. 2 2/3, struck out 4. I believe he struck out the side in the first inning, Tony, based on what I saw.
Reports
I gleaned from my sources down there in Peoria.
You mean what I put on the sheet?
What somebody put on the sheet. Yeah, Scravy put on the sheet. I didn't read the sheet.
First inning, I think it was KK, or it was like strikeout, walk, strikeout, strikeout.
You know I didn't get that information from the sheet. That'd be the last place I would look for information. Don't forget, coming up at 5:30, today's biggest fan. We'll announce that. And if it's you, you'll have 10 minutes to call back and qualify for the grand prize, the 20 tickets to a night out in the Odyssey Suite at a Padre game later this season. Remember, the rest of you register your name, 973thefansd.com/biggestfan. Speaking of fans, we have a bunch of them online because they want to play Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, I'm going to read this, and I don't know if you did it or not, but we're doing it anyway. If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. I heard Tony chuckling underneath that.
I'm not sure if you read it either, but I know.
Did you read it, Chris?
Don't recall having read it.
Shocker. Shocker. You know, on the sheet are also these reads that we have to do. All right. What you're going to be playing for today, Chris versus fans. Yes. You will be playing for a qualification for a trip to Las Vegas to have 2 tickets to Alanis Morissette at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace on October 24th, 2-night hotel stay October 23rd through the 25th at Flamingo Hotel and Casino, and a $100 gas card. I got a lot of responses on my Alanis singing yesterday, and everybody loved it. So
really,
yeah. I mean, listen, I could. I think everybody's probably with me that those who have met you could close their eyes and see you as a younger version of yourself, belting out Alanis Morissette.
You ought to know
every word. Word for word, I could totally see you.
You
doing
ought
that.
To know.
You ought to know. There we go. It's great. It's great. I sound exactly like her, actually.
Pretty close. It was
exactly like
you know
her.
That song was quite famous for its time, and it won a bunch of Grammy Awards. It also was the subject of a search because people thought that there was an NHL hockey player
that she was a former boyfriend who was an NHL hockey player who she was singing to in that song.
They thought she murdered him?
No, the song is all about the fact that, you know, you've gone on in your life, but you said you'd love me forever. And so she's upset at the former boyfriend. That's the song. It turned out it was, I believe it was Dave Coulet, the guy from
Uncle Joey from Full House.
Yeah, that's who she was singing to, apparently.
Yeah.
This just goes to show you that the people who thought they were good detectives back then have nothing on these people in 2025 that will find out everything
they can find
about
all that
you
stuff
in a matter
out.
Of seconds.
Yes, that is an anthem from a woman scorned to a former boyfriend, and it is quite the harsh attack.
It was definitely an anthem, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, it's like, quite
it
the
was,
attack.
It was, yeah, for sure.
And McKee, I have to say this about Uncle Joey. Cut it out.
Yeah, sorry, Uncle Joey.
Uncle Joey.
The truth hurts, Uncle Joey.
He's a heartbreaker.
He was the heartbreaker.
Right.
It wasn't her.
Right. He dumped her, apparently.
Yeah.
According to the song.
I mean, what
anyway.
Better? Uncle Joey, come on, bro. Lannis is still making money off of this stuff. Anyway. Yeah. All right.
He had a different idea, so, you know, can't knock the man.
Gonzo on the chat says, supposedly No Scrubs by TLC is also about Dave Coulier. I know that's not true.
He's left singers littered all over the landscape?
Apparently so. Who knew he was such a heartbreaker?
I didn't know that.
That's funny right there. That's good timing, too.
That was good timing. All right. We need rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get in there, and you will get the first question for free today.
All right. I've been a little off on my players.
It's okay. You're not in the room with us. It's just different. Let's go to Alex. Hello, Alex.
What's up, Alex? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much. First question, Alex.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm just watching some Nick Pivetta highlights from today, Tony. Three strikeouts looking on the breaking ball. Like he was buckling knees with that pitch today.
He was out there spinning it a little
Very
bit.
Very good.
Spinning it.
All right.
Who was the only Padre to homer over the weekend?
Okay, well, I have not been paying attention to spring training. Let's go.
What did he say?
Sound like he said
Jackson Merrill.
Jackson Merrill. Oh,
nice guess.
Yeah,
oh, my God, I got
great
it.
Great guess.
Nice job.
Great guess. Here we go. Question number two.
Hit it off of Seth Lugo. Last year's second place Cy Young Award finisher.
Give it up, Seth.
Yeah.
Question number two. Which Padres catcher appeared in the most games at catcher last season?
The guy from Japan. Not from Japan, but Higgy, right?
Higgy.
His nickname's Higgy.
Kyle from California.
From California.
He is from California.
I mean, he does have Japanese heritage.
He must.
Yes, he does.
It's not Higashioka, huh? Well, it's got to be Campusano. I
didn't really think this question out, to be honest, because there was only two choices.
There was
really
only two choices.
Sorry about that,
bad
Alex.
Bad luck for you, Alex.
Yeah,
that was bad luck for
I
Alex.
Thought it was great, I thought it was a great question until I realized that there's only two answers to it. It was closer than you think. Like, Campy had like maybe 94, and Higashioka had like 8. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Next contestant. Let's go to... I'm trying to find someone we haven't talked to. Let's go to Hayden.
Hayden.
Hi, Hayden. Welcome to the show.
Brethren. Glad to be here.
Brethren. Very good, Hayden.
Glad to have you. Here we go. First question. Who is the star player on Duke's basketball team right now?
That's going to be Cooper Flagg with two G's.
Thank you.
Good, my guy.
Dang.
Two G's.
Taking
yes,
no chances.
Indeed.
Taking no
Question
chances.
Question number two. Raven's been doing his homework today. The Padres saw Fernando Tatis Jr., David Peralta, and what other outfielder in right field last season?
It's going to take some digging in your brain.
Yeah. Tough one for me.
We have Hayden still?
Well, he's thinking, it sounds like.
I hear his him car. Thinking.
I don't hear him thinking anymore.
I don't hear him at all. And the fact that he hasn't said anything while we're talking might mean he's
okay.
not here.
Yeah.
Hayden, are you there? All right. That's strange.
Well, get another contestant.
All right.
Well,
sorry about that, Hayden. No, but we're going to keep that question. Now I can't
you
drop
think it's
any.
A good one?
They got to advance to that question
yeah.
first because there's a question.
Something's going
two.
On.
We'll keep it in there.
Something's going on, guys. I can't click
anything.
Oh, we've lost
phones
the phones.
Phones are acting real brand new here.
See, look, it says invalid at the top, Chris. Look, it says invalid at the top.
I have to tell you that this game does require phones.
You kind of need
oh,
the phones,
oh, my
man.
Goodness. Yeah. All right, I'm exiting the phones. We're going to have to restart the phones. Let's see if that helps. But in the meantime, we can... play Tiddlywinks.
So who? What was the question? Who else played right field besides Peralta and Tatis?
I don't
want to.
I don't want to keep. I don't want to bring
I don't
it
know
up
that the phones are working.
We're
going
to use it again.
Yeah.
Oh, here.
Like
wait. Now
working.
They're coming through.
Oh, they're back. They're working again.
All right.
Good luck finding Hayden again.
Yeah, I don't think.
Sorry,
we're
Hayden.
Hayden, you'll have to play again.
Sorry,
Hayden.
Hayden,
let's go to Austin. Hello, Austin.
Austin.
Hello.
Hello,
hey, Austin.
Austin.
How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too much. Ready?
Here we go. First question.
Mm-hmm. Oh, first time player.
I knew it.
First time player.
Ask that same question.
Here it is. The Padres saw Fernando Tatis Jr., David Peralta, and what other outfielder in right field last year?
Was it Bryce Johnson?
Wow!
Go ahead, my friend. Bryce Johnson.
I completely forgot about him until I looked at the stuff. Poor guy.
Bryce Johnson.
Yeah.
What a pull that
this
was.
What happened?
This one is a...
Go ahead.
Okay, we'll get to Bryce and what happened to him
okay.
after we get to this
okay,
one.
Sorry.
Okay,
sorry.
Good job.
And this one is tough. It should be. It's question three.
Mm-hmm.
In 1981, Muhammad Ali fought the last fight of his career. Who was it against?
I'm going to give this one to Chris. I got no.
Oh, okay. He's going to hand it off.
Smart.
We got to get up. We got to hear the buzzer.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you. Hello for the steal.
1981. That is in my a little more in my wheelhouse than you might expect.
Really?
I do remember a boxer, and I think
you were already
was...
70. How did you remember that?
That's funny. I think I saw the fight. I rode over on horseback. Was it Trevor Burbick?
Wow.
Oh, you got
wow. I'm sorry, Austin.
Baby.
I cannot believe that just happened.
That's crazy that you got that right.
I told you. 1980s, man. That's my zone. Yeah, it was, yeah, that's it's pretty famous.
Now, did
he
you
was
got,
completely,
did,
he was completely wiped out by that point. It was like a sad, you know, couple
yeah.
of hours.
Wait, was
so.
Were you in college in 81?
Yeah, I just started.
So, did you? How did you guys watch the fight?
It was probably
guys,
pay-per-view, but I mean, I think by that time, Ali was so down the ranks that I don't even think people were that interested. I mean, he'd already lost two or three times before that. And, you know, just was not Ali at all. And then I think he gave it one more shot, and it was just, no. It was a little like watching Mike Tyson fight Jake Paul there a month or two ago. Just wasn't much there for
How did
Muhammad
you guys
Ali.
Like, I can't wrap my head around how you got pay-per-view on a cable system.
I don't know. Maybe you had to call or something.
You had to call. You had to literally call.
Yeah, and I think it was $50, and we'd get, like, you know, 10 people come over, and everybody give $5, and we'd watch the
fight. I'm old enough to remember what you had to do when you wanted pay-per-view. You used to call the number, and at that, and like in the early 90s, it was like a hit two if you want to buy such and such. And, you know, charge
your account. No, I bought the wrong thing. Oh, no. Mom, I didn't mean to click that one.
There was plenty of teenagers, like, accidentally pushing the wrong buttons.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
My brother.
SpectraVision channel.
My brother had a party at my parents' house when he was a freshman in college, I think, and the guys thought it would be really funny to order every single adult movie on the list. So he had to clean that up.
Yeah. There you go.
Good luck explaining that to Pops on the deal.
Seriously,
when
like, what?
Reading off the names and carrying on.
Yes, the names were.
What was it in Little Big League? It was Night Nurses in Jersey, I think it was what it was called. Hayden's back, guys.
Oh, well, why don't we take a break then finish up the game? Okay. We'll let Hayden play on the other side.
All right, let's
so
do
late.
That, yeah.
All right, traffic first, and then more Chris versus the fans. Stick around. Turn the horns up, Scrape. I can almost hear myself think.
Sorry.
I didn't even know you were talking.
I know.
That sounds loud.
He's just got it really loud today.
I got to go here to turn up Tony. I got to make sure the stream is going. I got to make sure your mic's going. And I got to make sure this button's hit over here.
Sounds like four things at once.
Yeah, yeah. I need to maybe turn it down.
As long as you're not chewing gum, we're okay.
I'm not chewing gum.
Good. Walking?
I'm not walking either.
Chewing gum?
No. But I did hurt myself getting out of bed the other night.
What happened?
I just stepped out of bed and my ankle felt like it was broken.
Your ankle gave way?
Do you guys ever feel like that sometimes where you just get out of bed?
Was it asleep?
I don't know what happened. I got out of bed. It was like 2 in the morning, and I stepped on it, and I felt like it was broken. And I was like, this is just an old guy thing.
Interesting.
That sounds like an old guy thing.
Apparently, that hasn't happened to Tony Gwynn Jr. yet.
No, I didn't say that. It definitely has happened to me. Okay. It definitely has happened to me.
Chris fell out of his bed, like, couple months ago, so
I've done it more than once.
He falls out of his
bed. When I'm asleep, I throw myself on the floor. Just for no apparent reason.
I just stared at him like I didn't know what to say.
All I do is I wake
up. Is that real?
It's real. I hit the floor, I wake up, my wife goes, obviously, are you okay? And I usually go, yes, even though I'm, you know, not 100% okay. And then she rolls back over, and I climb back into bed, and that's it. And I've done it more than once. I don't know what happens. Don't ask me.
That's too funny.
That is really funny.
Well, you're a sleepwalker.
I know.
Entirely, which is crazy.
I know.
That's even funnier, actually, sleepwalking.
He makes himself, what'd you make?
A soap sandwich.
A soap sandwich.
Oh, yeah. The soap sandwiches would be bomb. Psych.
I got 2 pieces of bread out. And I put a bunch of liquid soap in the sandwich, and then I ate piece, and then I woke up, and I was like, oh, great.
All right, let's finish up the game.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing
here.
We
found Hayden, so we have to get him back on.
Yes, we have to get him back on.
Giving it a shot.
All right, Hayden, you are back. Are you there, sir?
Ball don't lie.
Okay, good.
Ball don't lie. I like it. I like it. Were you on question number 2?
By the way, I wish I had...
No, I think he just answered number two, did he?
No, I don't think he answered 2. We gave him 2, but we didn't hear his
response. I would have pulled Bryce Johnson, though. I would have pulled that.
You would have pulled that.
All right. Well, then we're on to number 3.
All right, go on to number 3.
We go just give it to him.
No, I should be on 2, because I never actually got to answer it.
Okay.
You go. See Scraby trying to give passes over here. Let's do question number 2.
By the way, I think I'm going to make a new rule as a basketball official. The next time somebody says, ball don't lie... Automatic ejection.
Automatic T.
Just ejection.
Oh, ejection.
I've heard it so many times, I can't tell you.
Well, ball don't lie, Chris, and it's true.
I wish that would have been available when I was in high school.
Ball don't lie. The other one you hear a million times, and one. Oh. Every time they make a basket,
that's not,
they want to
But that's
foul.
Not
they
really directed at you, though.
Mm, who's it directed at? They want me to call their foul.
I mean, if you go to an open court gym right now, everybody's saying and one as they get to the
Even though there's no like officials some, there?
Even though there's zero officials out there.
Right.
And
what?
That's just how it is.
It's just a thing. Okay. I won't take it personally anymore.
I do love Bob O'Reilly, right, though. So.
All right.
We could all thank Rasheed Wallace for that one.
Yes.
He was the inventor of
Rasheed.
Baltimore. All right, here we go. Question number two. All right, Hayden. Who currently has the most hits in spring training for the Padres?
Oh, goodness. I got to go with my gut here and say Arise.
Oh.
Luis.
No idea.
He's had a hit in every game except for today. Not correct.
Tirso or Nellis is my guess.
Ooh, Tirso with another one today, too.
That is correct.
Indeed.
Sorry.
All right, we're
Tirso or Nellis.
Come on, keep going.
The game's done today.
It's cooked.
It's cooked.
You're cooked?
No, it's cooked. I have questions, but the phones weren't working.
Do I just win today?
We have to end by five.
Do I qualify for the prize?
No.
No.
You want to know that.
All right. No prize, no winner today. What are you doing?
No winner today. We'll go double Alanis tomorrow.
Heartbreaking. You got Alanis tickets you got to get. You got to get, qualified for the Vegas trip. Or that's the same thing, right? You're going to give two of them away tomorrow?
Yes. And we still have Kane Brown to give away on this show.
You haven't played the sounder yet.
Nope.
When you hear Kane Brown call in, you can win those tickets. All right, we got a Big Five coming up. Part of the Big Five is how Bad Bunny is now attached to the Padres. We'll explain when Gwen and Chris continues. Apparently, the chat thinks that Scraby is brave, but also a chicken bleep. That's an Alanis Morissette line. We're getting all kinds of Alanis references today.
So good.
Scraby is literally singing random Alanis
Morissette lines.
We can't
stop him right now. We cannot stop him.
The only one I could really sing is you.
You can't sing that either.
Because everything else is swear words.
That's not true.
But it's funny to me because I never really listened to Alanis at all. Not really. I never listened to her. My wife, though, on the other hand, big Alanis fan, especially when she was younger, and she would randomly pick the weirdest
Alanis
lines out of her songs and just belt them out randomly. And it used to have me in tears. And so when Scraby just randomly started doing it, kind of took me back. That was quite funny, my friend.
Thank you.
She's an interesting writer, Alanis is. But anyway, we digress for about the 43rd time today.
This is what we do best.
It is really what we do best.
We never really actually
get to
any
The
topics.
Actual sports talk's kind of ho-hum. The digressing is excellent.
It's at its top. It says high peak.
The biggest fan will be announced a little less than an hour from now. Right now, Bad Bunny and the Padres. Well, kind of. We'll explain in the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. Like Chris said, we have the bunny to talk about, and then we will go from there. But first, this hour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. All right.
Number five.
Now, I really find it funny that John Heyman has been all over this story. Excuse me. And here's how he tweeted it today. It's now official. Tatis Jr. and the Bunny are now a team. BB's Remos Group will handle Tatis Jr.'s marketing and brand management. Tony, is he ever called the Bunny?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just found it really funny that John Heyman called him the bunny. But there you go. That is the news. That is true. There was rumors going around before this that he is going to consider hiring Bad Bunny's group to personally manage him, but it is official. It is now him. Is now Bad Bunny. It is not his contract agent, right? It's just his brand management.
Because Bad Bunny cannot be a contract agent.
The guys who were doing the agency have been suspended by MLBPA.
Some illegal doings.
Okay.
And they got some fines to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My question is, what Tony. Is
yes.
Does this concern you?
No. Okay. As long as it's on the marketing side, it doesn't concern me.
All right.
I don't know that there's any reason to be concerned. It's not the only player that they represent. They represent Ronald Acuna, among, I think, two other pretty prominent Latin guys in our league. So, you know, I think if they're doing bad business, we'll find out. But I don't think there's any reason to believe that at this point. I know the agency part is different than what this part is. So yeah. At least I assume so.
All right, Chris, does this worry you at all?
No, what worries me is the fact that when you say Bad Bunny, I picture Benny Blanco. I don't know why.
Who's Benny Blanco?
Don't know who that is.
That's Selena Gomez's
boyfriend.
Fiance now.
He's a big record producer, Benny Blanco. I don't know why I think of him
He made some appearances on Dave.
Oh, that's where I recognize him from. Okay, I can see there's a resemblance, Chris.
There's not really a resemblance.
No, there's no resemblance at all.
From the pictures I'm looking at, there's somewhat of a resemblance.
No, it's the BB. It's the BB. Bad Bunny, Benny Blanco. That's all it is.
That's the only resemblance.
Yeah, and I'm not concerned. So
I just would like everybody to know that Chris knew that Benny Blanco was Selena Gomez's fiance.
Who doesn't know that?
Everybody knows that. All right. Number four. For a week or two, we were getting indications North Carolina's football program would be the subject of a Hard Knocks season, which reportedly raised some concerns with the NFL. A spokesperson for NFL media told CBS Sports that the group could not come to an agreement with North Carolina and Belichick about the 2025 season. The series had been in discussions with the school for a behind-the-scenes look at Belichick's first season as a college football head coach. It also raised concerns for other college football programs because this would be a really good marketing tool to show players what North Carolina is all about. North Carolina general manager Michael Lombardi discussed the idea of the show on a Pat McAfee show appearance last week. He referred to the concept of North Carolina being the NFL's 33rd team. So, Chris,
God,
I'm going to change my question.
Do I hate Michael Lombardi? You can ask that if you want.
What do you think about North Carolina being the NFL's 33rd team?
I just think, you know, that's silly. The other part of it, though, would have been really fun to watch Belichick work. It really would have been. But you said something to me either on or off air, I think off air, about this that made a little sense. The Hard Knocks is an NFL films production, and it's all about NFL films. And why would they be doing this whole thing on, you know, a football university program? But I would say I think it's great, and I think we're just missing out here. It's too bad. No, but North Carolina is not the 33rd team.
What do you think, Tony?
If they are, then they should open up against the Dolphins so we can get a victory under our belts.
This is silly. These college kids would get boat raced against the worst NFL team.
Yeah, they would.
And I think the other thing is maybe he meant in the way they're going to run it. Is going to be similar to a 33rd.
I think that's probably more.
But a lot of teams are doing this now with the general manager, schools, universities, with the NIL stuff. They're getting a lot of these kinds of things are happening all over.
I think most of the smart schools are hiring GMs for that. But yeah. I still think there's probably going to be a difference in the way Bill Belichick is going to run his program versus what everybody else does. That's my guess. I don't know that to be fact. And I assume that's what Mr. Lombardi is referring to.
Yeah. Do you think it creates an unfair advantage for North Carolina by having this and having kids be able to for free look into the program?
Well, they're not doing it, so it's not going to create a
No, well, I guess what advantage. I was saying in that if regard, it, what if they I did see, do something?
I could see that being, unless only if they were going to be like, this is, we're only doing this North Carolina thing, and that's it. We're not going to offer this up to anybody else down the line. Then that's different. But sounds like part of the reason why they didn't come to terms on this is because it could create some disadvantages for teams that certainly already have some based on what we know.
Right. I know one thing. September 1st, TCU, North Carolina.
I'll be watching.
We're watching.
Yeah.
I know another thing. Wait till Belichick and North Carolina have to play at Cal on a Thursday night in the middle of the season. I want to hear Belichick's reaction to that flight.
I don't think he's going to. Knowing Belichick,
he
is
may not
going to
go to that game. He may just send somebody else to that game.
No, Belichick, I just don't see him even making a reference to the long travel. This dude is notorious for not giving in on any of those mental things that could beat you up. So we'll see.
But now he has to deal with a bunch of kids on the plane, right, so running down in the aisles and stuff.
Yeah, I doubt they would.
Yeah, college football player. You know, when I used to travel the Aztecs, they used to play a lot of grab ass on the plane. That's for sure.
I was thinking more of like running up the aisles and slapping people in the back of the head as they go.
Yes, that's sure. That's what 19, 20 year olds do a lot of, that's slapping each other in the back of the head.
Have you ever met a 19 or 20 year old?
Many.
Okay. Yeah. Number three. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr asked a question many of us have been asking for many years. Why doesn't the NBA call more traveling? Here is what Steve Kerr said after last night's game.
I don't understand why we're not teaching our officials to call travel in this league. They do a great job. They work their tails off. They communicate well. But I see 5-6 travels a game that aren't called. You know, we had 4 ourselves in Philadelphia. None of them were called. You know, it's a problem when there's like 100 fans in the stands and every coach on the sidelines, you know, when I'm watching film, and it's like everybody's doing that. So everyone's seeing it. So we're clearly not teaching as a league our officials to look at the feet. And I've made that clear to the league. Maybe I'll hear from them after these comments. But for the good of the game, the entire game is based on footwork. And for the good of the game, we need to enforce traveling violations. And we're not doing it. And I don't understand why.
That was Steve Kerr after last night's game. Let's go to our resident referee. Oh, man, I should have had this ready.
Weren't ready.
Yeah, I know.
We now go to our resident referee, Chris Sello.
Why don't they call more traveling in the NBA, Chris?
Yeah, you're looking for so many other things, honestly. And traveling can't really get you in too much trouble. Guys elbowing each other can get you in trouble. But when it's out on the floor, the point that Steve Kerr brought up that's the best point is the fact that footwork is a huge part of being a great basketball player. And by not calling any traveling, you're not rewarding the guys that actually are good at their footwork. You're just giving everybody a free run at the basket. So, you know, I think he's bringing up a point that needs to be looked at. You know, but you know, the other thing is that when I call travel in a high school game, invariably, oh, let him play. You know, every time.
It's the fundamental rule of the game.
Right. Yeah. If you don't like it, take the rule out. But you shouldn't.
No, don't take the rule out.
These guys would be. Yeah, I know, right.
They're playing rugby at that point.
They would be playing rugby. But no, you're penalizing the guys that have great footwork by not calling traveling against the guys who don't know how to do it. And you know where else the travel needs to be called? Is when you catch a pass 7 feet in front of the three-point line and then James Harden your way back before shooting a three-pointer. That's traveling too, but they don't ever call that one either.
Tony.
The irony is that he is one of the dudes who has superior footwork.
Right, he doesn't need to do that. Yeah, you're right. Good point.
I agree with Chris and I agree with Steve Kerr. I think... it is, and I also agree with Chris that it is so hard and things are so much faster, so spread out, and you're watching. I think what happened was, honestly, and, you know, NBA has been criticized for this, you know, the traveling thing for a very, very, very long time. But I feel like as the league started to crack down on the physicality and really made it a priority to, you know, flagrant ones, flagrant twos, because they were worried about the image part of it. They've kind of let some of that, the fundamental parts slide, right? I think they were, remember in the 80s and 90s, they were less worried about the physicality and were much more on the fundamental parts, you know, boxing out, over the back, traveling, some of those fundamental calls, right? And I think as they moved away from that and started focusing on it not being too physical, we've moved off of the fundamentals now. And so, yeah, I do think you got to call it, though. I mean, I think there's a reason why, you know, some of these countries, other countries are catching up, because they are strong and they do teach those, and those referees are calling that. It's all part of the same kind of thing. So I agree across the board.
I'll be honest with you. Another thing, as a referee, I'll straight up admit it, I don't honestly know everything about traveling. They really do need to teach it better. I think we all think we know it when we see it, but we don't always see.
Yeah, and in high school, college, NBA, they're all literally different rules in terms of what you can do with the footwork.
You got the step through move now, the Euro step. A lot of times a guy will catch the ball with his right foot as a pivot foot, and while he's standing there, he'll change to his left foot. That's traveling.
That's a travel, for
sure.
Even
though you don't go anywhere, that's traveling, but you very rarely, you know, notice it. It's a tougher call than people think. Anyway, sorry, Scrab, we took too long on
that. No. We got plenty of time.
Number two.
I'm going to need maybe a little help describing this, but let me set it up real quick. There's going to be a rule change in baseball this year.
Oh, I got you.
All right. Pirates manager Derek Shelton called Nolan Gorman's run through second, quote, one of the most heads-up plays, baseball plays, end quote. Now that it's all going to change, the new rule attempts to ban the run through at second base to help clarify replay reviews on plays where that happens. Per MLB's official language, quote, an advancing runner who makes no bona fide attempt to hold the base or to advance to the next base will be ruled safe but subsequently out for abandonment, end quote. The run scoring from third with two outs will depend on the time the runner passed the back edge of the base. So, Tony, did the rule need to be changed?
It did need to be changed, but I don't know that this is going to actually fix it, and here's why. So the rule is this happens with a runner on third, runners on first and third, ground ball hit.
Two outs in the inning.
Okay. Right, they go to second on a like a bang bang play,
right?
The runner, instead of sliding, just runs through the bag
out into left field. Okay,
right, just so that you can't then, I'm trying to wait, that's not how it goes. Runner on third, though,
one out,
and basically
one out.
Runners were running through the bag as opposed to sliding like they normally
do. That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
And it was causing a bunch of chaos. I still think they might be in trouble with the way they wrote this, right? An advancing runner. So now guys are going to hit second and try to turn towards third. They're just going to, now they're running to a base.
Hey, I was going to the next base.
And that's the thing is, you know, baseball players, teams are always trying to find whatever loophole edge they can get. This had started to become, you know, even on double plays, not allowing you to complete it because you're standing up. And listen, it takes the dudes I came up playing with in that era would have had no problem. But these cats now, nobody really wants to throw a baseball through someone's face, right? The guy who's running the second now, they just stand up. They dare you, basically, to hit me in my face. And guys aren't willing to do it, so they throw it around, and next thing you know, there's an error. That run ends up coming in the score. That would have been the double play. And so that is, I think that is what they're trying to clarify. I'm not sure that it's going to actually work. We'll see. I hope it does, though.
All right. Chris, do you think this rule needed to be changed?
Apparently so. You know, because everybody's cheating. And it's just ridiculous, right? Here's the thing. They didn't have a rule against trash can banging, really, but, you know, they did that anyway. I mean, cheating and trying is different. I just don't like it.
To some.
Yeah. To Chris.
I'm trying to read about it here while we're answering it, but we don't have a lot of time. So I'll just, you know, say yes. It sounds like they were getting an advantage that, you know, shouldn't happen.
All right.
number one.
Fred Couples, Freddie Boom Boom Couples, said Brooks Koepka wants to return to the PGA Tour from LIV Golf. He was on Seattle's KGR 93.3 FM.
I hope he got Brooks' permission to tell everybody his business like this.
No joke. I talk to Brooks Koepka all the time. I love Brooks Koepka. And I'm not going to say anything extra except I talk to him all the time. And then he goes on to say he wants to come back. I will
say
that.
Extra.
I believe he really wants to come back and play the tour. So, Tony, do we think this is the start of the LIV exodus?
If I'm the PGA Tour, I'm certainly hoping so.
Yeah.
I'm certainly going to welcome him back. As I said, when this first started to kind of be rumored,
yeah,
I would certainly welcome back and then hope that everybody else wants to come back too.
Yep. Chris?
This has got to happen sooner or later. And maybe Brooks will be first. Can he not get out of a LIV?
Once his contract is up.
When's his contract?
Soonish. I don't know exactly.
Right.
If I was him, I would make sure I'm on my best game, though. Coming back.
Seriously. All right, that is it for the Big Five. You guys are taking off. Chris will be back tomorrow. Tony's going to be on vacation for a little bit. Sam Levitt is going to join me from Peoria when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.